the phenomenon that we're witnessing in our outer world, extending far, far beyond the earth now, apparently is part of a cycle that we're witnessing upon and within the earth as well. Increased seismic activity. As an ex-geologist, I'm particularly interested in this. I believed at one time, maybe it was just me, maybe it just seemed like there were more earthquakes than we'd ever seen before. And as the data has come in and it's been charted and analyzed over the years, what we see is that, in fact, the number of seismic events, the earthquakes globally, are increasing on a logarithmic scale, number one. And number two, the severity of the earthquakes also is increasing. We're seeing more seismic events that are measured at greater levels on the Richter scale than we've ever seen before. USGS, United States Geologic Survey, has a hotline that you can actually dial in and receive an update every day of the seismic events for the last 24 hours. They rate them by magnitude, magnitude 1, 2, 3, and 4, and so on. On the west coast of the United States, the seismic events are so close together they cannot tell where one stops and the other one starts. It's like there's a continuous rumble underneath the crust of the earth, and they're low-level earthquakes, maybe magnitude 2 and 3. This is good. This is good news because it means there's a gradual release that's occurring rather than the quiet times and then a sudden jerk, a sudden shift where we have the damage. We are now witnessing seismic events unprecedented in terms of how deep into the earth the epicenter begins. Worldwide, there was a study, Time Magazine did a study. Between 1976 and 1996, there were over 500,000 people that lost their lives to earthquakes globally. In the United States, we've lost 123 lives during that time. So we've been relatively fortunate, although the seismic activity is increasing. All through the Pacific Northwest, Mount Rainier, Mount St. Helens, new activity is being documented as the glaciers are melting and the glacier lakes are heating up. Why? What's happening now? Why are these events all occurring at the same time? It's no surprise to anyone that weather patterns are shifting, and I think we all have been a part of those shifting weather patterns, whether we're talking about tornadoes in downtown Miami or massive floods in South America. What we are seeing are unprecedented extremes of heat, of cold, of precipitation, of wind. And I've taken the liberty of compiling some statistics just to put some of this into perspective. August 1998, Life magazine has documented the effects of our most recent El Nino. And although we've heard about it in the news, the numbers are just staggering. Beginning in 1993, we had great floods in the Midwest between the Great Lakes of our country and the Gulf of Mexico. And there was a period of time where the flooding was so severe that from satellite photographs, North America looked very similar to ancient maps of North America in geologic history, where there was an inland sea, because the flooding of the Missouri and the Mississippi rivers from the Great Lakes all the way down to the Gulf created this very narrow image of what looked like an inland sea. That was before the El Niños ever began. 1997-1998, this El Niño, one of the reasons it caught us by surprise is because our climatological models missed El Niño completely. What the El Niño was all about was a complete breakdown and 180-degree reversal of water currents and the winds associated with those currents in the oceans of the world. We haven't seen anything quite like this before, wreaking havoc on a global level. In the deserts of Chile, for example, in South America, these are the dry, arid deserts. They received over 12 inches of rain in areas that don't normally have rain at all. We saw snow in Guadalajara, Mexico. It was the first time snow was there since 1881. Canada suffered the worst ice storm in history. Thousands of people were without power for weeks on end. Floods killed even more thousands in Africa. And in Peru, there was so much rain in the Peruvian Andes that a new lake was formed. It's a new landform now, 2,300 square miles. in the area. There's a new lake. The president of Peru actually took a jet ski out onto the lake and was showing that it's viable as a tourist attraction now. In Peru, we've never seen this before. Wildfires in Florida. Over 2,000 outbreaks in a 60-day period, burning 500,000 acres and losing approximately $250 million of homes and crops. That's from the most recent El Nino. Since January of 1997, over 16,000 people have lost their lives worldwide and $50 billion in damage. 456 of those lives were in the United States. What's happening with the weather? Why is this happening right now? Late 1980s, early 1990s, nearly every major publication in the West either devoted an entire issue or a special section of a regular issue of their publication to the unprecedented kinds of phenomena that we're seeing now. The breakdown in the ozone, the global changes in weather, global heating, global cooling, changes in the ocean currents, what's happening in our environment. In June and July of 1998, this was also documented in the tech journals, at least two major ice shelves in Antarctica have fractured. One of them is the size of the state of Texas. And if it continues to break, melt, and break, we may see that massive piece of ice fall off into the ocean. And the fissure is continuing inland. And there's a second, the Larsen Ice Shelf. Now, researchers are watching very closely. Bodies of ice this large falling into the ocean have the potential of a profound effect on sea level. And the same thing is happening now in the North Polar regions as well. Recent studies have shown that the ice melt is happening underneath the water level at rates up to 30% greater than we ever measured above. So something clearly is happening here. In 1992, we identified 20 potentially life-threatening viruses in our world that were not here 30 years ago. Why are they here now? And what do they offer to us? All of these things are happening now at the same time. The magnetic fields of our Earth, very, very controversial, and we're just now beginning to hear about this in newspapers and magazines because there's a phenomenon that occurred, and I'm surprised that this didn't make front page on every newspaper in the world. The magnetic North Pole has shifted over 10 degrees from where it was 50 years ago. This is very significant. Where we're really seeing the effects of this is in GPS, global positioning satellites, and in the aircraft industry, because our pilots navigate following these magnetic lines. There are contour maps of magnetics of the Earth. They're released, the FAA mandated, they come out every 56 days. And now the magnetics are changing so quickly that they're coming out every 30 days. When you approach a runway and you see the numbers on the runway markers, those numbers are compass headings for the pilots to navigate according to. And the FAA has a mandate that says, should those numbers ever be off more than 10 degrees, we have to renumber our runways. And in 1997, the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport was the first one to actually go and renumber the runways to compensate for the shift in Earth's magnetic north. Why is this happening now?